Man, it is pretty awesome to see all these kids going down there. All right, guys, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for just your word that you've given us, that we're able to just be in America in a place that we can freely read it and study it and learn about it, Father. We just, we thank you for all of these blessings that we have. And Father, we just, we pray you bless this day and this time together as we fellowship with each other and get to hear your word, Father. We just pray that you guide my lips and just open these people's hearts, Father, that they're able to hear what you have prepared for them. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Hopefully, if you watched or was here for the last time that I preached, it will be longer than 10 minutes. So I won't send you home early. I know there's probably a football game going on today, and you were like, oh, yeah, we're getting to go home early. Probably not. We're going to be in Colossians 3 today, so if you guys want to open up your Bible, we're in Colossians 3. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to go over a section of that. And this was just a good section for me to learn. And I've read it many times over and over again. And it's funny when you kind of, when you go to study something like this and you're trying to prepare, you're kind of thinking to yourself like, okay, what am I going to give these people? Like, what do I want? What is my message going to be, you know? And so that's the biggest question that you have is, what's my message going to be? And honestly, when I've read this section many times, and I probably skimmed over it and never even come close to what I've got out of it. And I know what I've got out of it is not even close to what's really in it. So that is one thing that my message for you guys today is, try to pick something in the Bible, wherever it may be, whatever you guys are going through, find something and study it really hard, like dive deep into it and see what you learn and see what comes out of it. It's so crazy how deep the Bible can go and really what you can get out of it in such a short little section. I mean, this is only like, we're going to go over 17 verses, and I studied for like 2 weeks on this, and I don't even think I got close to really what is in there. So we'll start right now. We'll just start in verse 1, and it says, if you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Which Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So right there in verse 1, it says, if then, so Paul's talking about, he's saying an if, so he's kind of addressing everybody here, but if you have been raised with Christ, so if you guys, so as Christians, we are raised with Christ, right? Christ is our light, he's guiding us through our life, and he's giving us the direction that we should go. If we're following that direction, you know, we're walking down that path. It says that we should seek the things that are above. And the things that are above, those are heavenly things, right? So we've got eternal life. We've got eternity with Christ. We're going to have perfect love all the time. There's going to be no pain, no suffering. I mean, there's so many great things about heavenly things that we can set our mind on. And there's some good things here on earth too, but all these things on earth are going to fade away. All these things in heaven are for eternity. They're forever. So that's something that we can look forward to and that we can really be thankful for, because forever is, you know, that's never going to go away. So all these perfect things that are in heaven are never going to leave us. They're never going to forsake us, right? And in verse 2, he goes over basically the same thing. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of the earth. So he's repeating himself again. You know, we're setting our minds on this. On earth, we are to set our minds on a heavenly mindset, right? I mean, in the word it says that we should store our treasures in heaven, not on earth, right? So on earth, our treasures are going to fade away. They're going to get destroyed. There's things on earth that are going to destroy what we have accumulated, but in heaven those things will never be destroyed, right? They're lasting forever. There's no getting rid of it at all. In verse 3, it says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So, I mean, I'm looking around. I mean, you guys all look alive to me, but it says that we have died with Christ. Well, when we think about that, I mean, Christ died on a cross for our sins, and he rose again 3 days later. But when we died, he's talking about we die to our old self, right? When we become a new creation as a Christian, we are to put away that old self. We're to put away those things that we used to do and things that we used to say and act like. And, you know, we're supposed to be the light of the world, right? Christ is supposed to be in us, giving us what we are to be in the world. And that is the light, right? So in verse, so you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And in verse 4 it says, when Christ, who is your life, so as a new creation, Christ is our life. So he's going to be guiding us in our life. When he appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And when you think about that glory, if you read Revelation, I mean, Christ's second coming is going to be so glorious, right? Like he's literally going to be riding on a cloud coming to get us again. That glory is going to be so amazing. Then it says every knee is going to bow down to him. And whether you believe in him, you don't believe in him, whether you follow him or not, you will still have to bow down to Jesus no matter what, no matter what you've done, what you will do, or what anybody can say or will say or do. So that is such a big deal because, I mean, our life on earth is so short. Like, we don't have a whole lot of time here to kind of make it to forever. I mean, the Bible says it's literally like a blink of an eye. You know, our life is so, so small compared to an eternity that I've met some people that are up in their 90s and they're like, it went so fast. And I'm like, well, you're 90 years old. Like, me looking at them, I'm like, that's forever away. And they're like, just wait, like it's there, you know. And so to be able to be on earth and to know Christ, and it says that everybody has an opportunity to seek the Lord, right? And so, I mean, if you haven't been seeking for him, you should, because he is the Savior of the world, right? He asks us, who do you say I am? Well, he is the Son of God. He is our Lord and Savior. He's our ultimate sacrifice, right? And so that is what gives him that glory when he comes back, that every knee is going to bow to him. In this next section, we'll start in verse 5. It says, I'll just read the whole thing. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked, but you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or an uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. And so Paul gives us an example in those first four verses that we are to put our minds on things above, right? So he says, okay, so this is what you're supposed to be doing as a new believer, as somebody who, or even if you've known the Lord for your whole life. I mean, this is still a good application to put into your life. And so he's giving you, so you put your mind on heavenly, you set your mind on heavenly things and on things that are above. But then you also have to get rid of some of these things that we as humans naturally have. And what are those things? He said, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. So these things are naturally going to be bred into us just as humans because we are sinful people just from birth. And the things that we need to get rid of are sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. So those things are all, I mean, when you think of those things, you're like, man, those are pretty rough. But all of us as humans struggle with those things. And Sexual immorality. It could literally, I mean, it says that just lusting after someone is sexual immorality. Looking at somebody and just having a thought about them, you know? I mean, that's something that we need to put away. You know, it says to take our thoughts captive and to push those down, right? We're supposed to be, like Paul says, set your minds on things above. You know, when you're thinking about other people and you have this lust of other people, those are not heavenly things that we should be thinking about. And then it says impurity. So, you know, we're called to be pure in front of the Lord, right? So you get rid of all these nasty things that are in our bodies, whether it's, you know, things that we eat, things that we look at, that we listen to. It could be so many different things. Our passion, and I think for me personally, when I read this and studied, I feel like it's like a sexual passion, kind of, you know, because, I mean, you can have passion about things. The Lord gives us good passions in our life. I mean, some of us, we got hobbies, you know, and the Lord gives us a passion to want to, you know, seek him and follow him and who he is. But there are these passions that can consume us, that draw us away from the Lord as well, and things that we can put over the Lord that can become idols and things that we can kind of water our faith down with. Evil desires. Most of you probably are like, oh, maybe I don't have a whole lot of evil desires. As human beings, yes, we do, whether they're really small or they're really big. You know, I mean, as human beings, we struggle with sin and we struggle with being sinful. And so those sinful things, I mean, would be considered evil desires, right? You know, maybe it's, oh, maybe I'll just, well, I mean, I guess this is an example for kids, but you know, you take a cookie out of the cookie jar when your parents say no. Okay, well, that's still an evil desire, right? Because you're wanting to take something that's not yours. And then it can go all the way, I mean, you can get really deep with it and go all the way to murder with it. You know, I mean, that's an evil desire as well. So there's a big spectrum on that we have to get rid of. And covetousness, which is idolatry. So idolatry, we need to get rid of idolatry. Anything that we are putting above the Lord, for sure. And I've struggled with this a lot. I've got, you know, I have hobbies, and I've put hobbies over the Lord. I've put work, I've put family. I've done a lot of things that I've put over the Lord, and that is absolutely considered idolatry for sure. You know, I think the Lord has definitely blessed me with being able to try to get rid of those things, and he's definitely still working on me, that I still struggle with those things. But those are things that we need to get rid of. And then Paul says again in verse 6, on account of the wrath of God is coming. And I don't know about you guys, but when I read the Gospels, when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and when I read that verse, the first thing that came to my mind was when Jesus was in the garden and he was sweating drops of blood. And why was he sweating drops of blood? Because he was terrified that he was going to have to be separated from his father, somebody who he had never been separated with since the beginning. I mean, he is literally, him and God are one, and they've been together since forever. So that was one of the reasons he was sweating drops of blood. But he also knew that he was going to have to endure the wrath of God for every single person's sins that ever lived before that, that was living then, and was going to live after that. That's a lot of sins to have to try to put on one man. And the wrath that would have to come with that is ridiculous. Because I don't know about you, I mean, I've been anxious before in my life, and I've never sweated drops of blood. So to think that because of those things that we are going to have to deal with the wrath of God, that's a scary thought. And not that we should be scared of the Lord in like a fearful way that you're scared that he's going to just, you know, beat you down and try to just take everything away from you. But it's a healthy fear, because you know that he wants the best for you, but he's still just, and you still have to have consequences for the actions that you give, right? Whether they're good consequences or bad, we get to choose that, right? We have the free will to choose whether or not that God's wrath is put upon us, right? So that, to me, that verse stuck out really, really big, because the wrath of God is something that can be very terrifying if you don't know what's coming. In verse 7 it says, in these two you once walked. So we're going back to verse 5 again, basically. And when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. So he's giving us more things that we should put away, that we, that us as pre-Christians, we used to deal with, which are anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. So those things are all things that, again, that we struggle with and that we deal with. Anger, super easy to get angry. We hear Sean talk about it all the time when he's in traffic or somebody cuts him off, and you know, and you get angry, right? It's really easy to get angry and to kind of just lose it on somebody. You know, if you hold it all in, it's all going to come out. You know, so that anger is something that we need to get rid of, and the Lord can definitely take that stuff away from us. And the next one is wrath. And I feel like wrath and anger, they kind of go hand in hand, but wrath, I feel like, is a little bit, that's when you start taking action to your anger, right? So you can be angry, but wrath is where you start taking action, where, no, you get angry, and now you're ready to fight somebody over this anger, which is definitely not what we want to be doing. And that's not the idea of where we want to be, and that's not where the Lord wants to put us, right? So we want to try to keep ourselves out of that. Malice and slander. So we're talking about, you know, gossip or taking things and saying things about other people that, you know, we might not be good to say, you know. Obscene talk. It could be, you know, it could be a cuss word. It could be, once again, it goes along right with slander, you know. Just talking just to talk are not things that we should want to engage ourselves with. And then in verse 9 it says, do not lie to one another. And this one is, that's a big one. Especially, I feel like Paul is talking about believer to believer, right? So why, I mean, we should have no reason to lie to another believer, because, I mean, they understand that, yes, we're gonna sin, right? We're gonna fall short of the glory of God. We're gonna make these mistakes. But guess what? God's there to pick us back up, and we should be able to open up to other believers, because they should be there to help you get back up too. You know, I mean, those people are going to be the ones that are going to give you that encouraging word and want to get you to get back to your, to get back to where you were at, you know. So he says, do not lie, because, oh, right here. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So we put off the old self with its practices and all those practices we just went over. And now we are putting on our new self that is being renewed in knowledge. So, and I feel like to be renewed in knowledge, you have to be in the Word, right? You have to have that relationship with the Lord. You have to be reading and seeking and praying and diligently looking for that knowledge. It's not just going to one day just magically appear in your brain that you're just going to have all this wisdom and all this knowledge of what the Bible says. And you have to be looking for it. You know, the Bible says, seek and you shall find, knock and I will answer. So, I mean, you have to, if you seek for it, he will give it to you, absolutely, but you actually have to go out and put in the effort. And I feel like that's with anything that we do in life. The effort you put into it is the result that you're going to get out of it. Whether you're playing sports, whether you're working, and especially in your relationship with Christ. And that's in a relationship with other people as well, as even a good example. I'm still pretty recently married. It's been 3 years, but one thing that the Lord has definitely shown me is the effort you put into that relationship is the result that is going to come out. So if you're not putting any effort into your marriage or your relationship with the Lord, you're not going to get very many results, or none at all, really. But the more effort you put in, the more results you're going to get, the further you're going to grow, and the closer you guys are going to get together. And then it says, here there is, and he's talking about believers. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. So he doesn't see anybody different from one another, right? I mean, we can all look around at everybody around us in the world, just in here today, the person sitting next to you. We don't look the same, right? We all look different. We're all individual people, but that doesn't make us really that much different, right? If we're all following the same God, we're all have the same mindset, right? Which is to let's make it to heaven and spend eternity with Christ. We all have that same mindset. We're all working towards the same goal. There might be different ways to go about it, and other people might find new ways to do something different, but we're all working towards the same goal. So why is there these issues, right? And it says that Christ is all and in all. So Christ is with all of us. He is in all of us, and he is all of us, right? So all of these believers, whether you look different, you talk different, you act a little bit different, or whatever it may be, you know, if we all have the same end goal, there should be no miscommunication getting to the end goal there. So in verse 12, we'll go down to the end of 17 here, and it says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So in those first four verses, Paul says, seek the things that are above. So then he goes into the next section and he talks about things that we are to get rid of so that we are able to seek the things that are above and the things that people are going to be looking for. And then in this last section, Paul is going to give us the things that we are to put on as new believers, right? So these are things that you're going to see in a believer's life, and you're going to be like, oh, hey, I recognize that. You know why? Because this is what we are, as Christians, are supposed to look like. And I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect with this stuff, because I definitely have not got all of these down, or probably none of them, to be honest with you. But he's definitely working on me, for sure. In verse 12, he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, compassionate hearts. So we are to be compassionate with others. And this one is convicting to me for sure, because I hate saying this because it just makes me look horrible, but that's, I got to say it anyways. I struggle really, really hard with seeing homeless people and people that are just not choosing the best life. And that's what it looks like to me. Maybe they're in that position because, you know, of whatever circumstance it may be, but it's hard for me to feel compassionate because I'm like, man, you chose to be there. And that is very selfish of me, and saying that now out loud, you know, the Lord is definitely convicting me of that. But I see a lot of examples of it, and they're just, you know, they're kind of just out on the streets, and they're wild and crazy, and, you know, I mean, nobody can really get to them, it seems like. So the compassionate heart one hit me hard, because it's easy to be compassionate to other people, right, that are the same as us, but to be compassionate to people that maybe are in a less fortunate situation, like, it's sometimes it can be hard, and for me it is, at least for sure. The next one he talks about is kindness, which goes kind of along with that compassionate heart. But, you know, we are to be kind to everybody, no matter who they might be, what they might look like. And those things, he calls us to be kind. And as the Lord has been working on me, for sure, kindness is something that I hope is growing in my life. The next one is humility. And this one is being humble. is very difficult for me, and I would imagine a lot of other people as well. But just being humble, you know, and I heard somebody say one time, being humble is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less. And so it's not necessarily thinking less of yourself and not downing who you are as a person, but putting other people before you, right? And that's something that I've had to learn how to do in my life, because as humans, we struggle with that, you know? I mean, we're selfish people. We want the best for us and what we want to do. And, you know, you look at the way that Jesus came down from earth, right? He's literally the creator of the universe and the human race, but he came down here to be a servant, and he literally washed people's feet, healed sick people. You know, I mean, he literally came down here to serve people and it was totally backwards to what everybody thought that he should be here doing. They thought he should be here just on a throne, just, you know, taking over the world. But that's not how he decided to come back. He decided to come back as a servant. So if the creator of the universe can come back and be a complete servant and just give up his whole deity, I think so can we, you know. Meekness and patience. Patience is one that that is huge, because we're going to get frustrated with people. I just gave the example earlier. Sean talks about it all the time. When you're in traffic and somebody cuts you off and you get angry, right? Having that patience with you is something that can just be a huge blessing, because then you're not going to blow up. You're not going to get angry, and you're not going to want to, you know, like the wrath thing that says we need to get rid of. You're not going to go fight somebody over something that's not worth it. And then bearing with one another. So that's something that we should do as well, right? We're supposed to be there for one another. So if somebody's going through a hard situation, we're there for them, right? And not just saying, oh, hey, I'm here for you, and then just kind of, you know, maybe text them a couple verses or whatever it might be, but actually being there for them. Like if they call and say, hey, like, or text you and say, hey, I need you right now. And you're like, all right, I'm on my way. Like, you know, whatever that might look like, just being there, being somebody to talk to, somebody to just have to listen, you know, is huge. Because we're gonna go through these things that are difficult, and we're gonna go through hard times for sure. So bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Forgiveness is a big one, because it says, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. That's hard, because I mean, we can have people do stuff to us that's not easily forgivable. It could be whatever, you know. I mean, a relationship could go sideways, and you're like, oh, I don't really want to forgive this person over that. And I'm not saying forgiving somebody is completely forgetting what they've done and just saying, okay, everything's good to go again. No, I think forgiveness is understanding that, yes, that person made a mistake. I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to give them another chance, right? I mean, the Lord has definitely given me many, many chances to come to him and to make right the things that I have done wrong, and which are a lot, for sure. But he still forgives, and it says, how many times should we forgive? And it's 70 times 7. I mean, that's a lot of time. And I mean, that's just a big number, you know. But I mean, most people aren't going to sin against you and cause that many problems that many times. You know, he was just making an example. But we are to forgive, because the Lord has forgiven us. And he's definitely forgiven me of a lot of things and things that I've dealt with and struggled with. So why am I to hold a grudge on somebody else? And why should we all hold a grudge on anybody? Because, yeah, the Lord has forgiven us of things that we've either done the same thing or done something even worse than we've done to the Lord than they've done to us. So forgiveness is one that we need to do. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And love is a big one, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if I can get there, It talks about love and what love looks like. And it says in verse 4, love is patient. It is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. So when it says that we are to put on love, that is the kind of love that it speaks about, that we are supposed to put, we are supposed to have that love overflowing in our life to other people. And it says that it binds everything together in perfect harmony. So that perfect love, and I see that with the first couple verses that Paul talks about, seeking the things that are above, that perfect love that binds everything together. When you think of something that's in perfect harmony, I mean, you can think of so many different things, like just how amazing heaven is going to be when we get there, because it will be perfect. And it's not even something that we can comprehend, because we've never seen a perfect place before, right? Earth is a sinful place. It's a dark world. So just to even imagine what that would look like is super, super wonderful. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So the peace of Christ, and I don't know about you guys, but there is a peace that Christ can give you that just is unexplainable, really. Like you almost, it would almost be like right before you, I don't know if you guys have ever went in for surgery and they knock you out and you're just kind of laying there, and just all of a sudden just everything feels warm, you feel super good, and you have no care in the world. It's even better than that feeling, right? Like just the peace of Christ is just better than whatever drug or whatever thing that you could think of to make you feel a good type of way. The peace that Christ can give us is so, so much better than that. And then, oh, and it says, in being thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does that look like? When it's dwelling in our heart, or when it's dwelling in us, it's in our hearts, right? It's something that is in our mind. We're thinking about it constantly. We're living it out. It's not just a, oh, hey, I'm a Christian and I go to church on Sunday for an hour and a half. It should be something, no, hey, I'm a Christian and I live my life every single day, every minute, every hour of the day like this, because this is what God has called me to. And it's a struggle, because it's not a Christianity is not a religion. It's a lifestyle. You know, it's something that we are as people to live our faith out, right? It says that we need to live out our faith. And so every day we are to live that out. But you can't live that out if you're not in that relationship with Christ. So we gotta read our word, we gotta pray, we gotta spend time in the word and meditate on it and things that it says. And it says it's going to teach and admonish. We are supposed to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. So the wisdom that we have, God is able to use that to teach other people and to show other people what they maybe are missing. And I don't know about you guys, but it says the word is living and active. And like I said, I've read this section many, many times, and I've never even come close to getting out of this what I got out of it right now. So when it says it's living and active, it truly means that it's going to be different for every single person that reads it. And there's going to be some people that are going to get the same thing, but there's going to be, you know, somebody else that is going to get something totally different out of it, because maybe they're going through a different struggle or they're going through something else. Or you might not get it yet, but you'll get it in a year from now, or two or five or ten, whatever it may be, whenever you get to that point. And it says we're supposed to be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And I don't know about you guys, but like when worship's going and you just, it goes back to that peace that God gives us, right? When they're up here singing worship and you're standing and you're singing and just, you kind of just get this presence of the Lord over you and you're like, man, this is just like nothing better. Like there's nobody else around listening, and doesn't matter if you sound like a dying chicken when you're singing. You're singing and you think it sounds great and the Lord is loving it. You know, like you just, like there's just no care in the world when that happens, and it's amazing. And then it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, so whatever you do, so whether you're speaking, you're doing actions, physical things, whatever it may be, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, you know, whatever you say, whatever you do, we're doing it in the name of the Lord. And it says, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so giving thanks is something that, to Christ for our ability, right? Like the Lord has definitely blessed me to be able to come up here and speak. It's not something that I ever thought that would ever happen in my lifetime. But, you know, I get to share whatever I learn in the Word to speak to you guys. And I'm very thankful for that, because that's something that is huge to me, right? Because I want to see all of you guys in heaven with me. I want to be able to go up and spend eternity with Christ and with you guys and be able to praise the Lord in his presence, right? Like I look around and I see all you guys, and I've got to know most everybody in this church, and it's like you guys are like a family now, you know? And so to be able to see you guys in heaven would just be awesome, like honestly. So I'm very, very thankful that the Lord has blessed me with that, to be able to come up here and do what I am able to do. And, you know, thankfulness for, you know, that we even live in America, right? And no matter what, how bad it might look on the news or whatever they say, we still live in the greatest country on the earth, right? I mean, we're free. Nobody's breaking down the door right now to come and shoot us because we're, you know, reading the Bible and teaching about Jesus. We are in a wonderfully air-conditioned building right now when it's 110 degrees outside and it's 70 degrees in a building. You know, you're not miserable. You're comfortable, right? Sometimes you got to put on a blanket or something. It's that cold in a building. So just like little things to be thankful for. And I've been helping the kids downstairs on Wednesday nights doing the youth group. And don't ever underestimate what kids can teach you, because they will teach you way more than you ever think. I had a girl tell me, she goes, hey, I had a teacher say one time, if you only had the things that you were, here, I'm trying to think of how she said it. If you only had the things that you prayed to God that you were thankful for, what would you have? And I was like, man, would not have much. You know, I mean, I wake up and I say, thank you for this day. Thank you for life, you know. But really, like, if I had only what I prayed that I was thankful for, it would not be much. And there's so much to be thankful for. Like I said, we live in America. We get to be able to come to church, right? It's not a, oh, I have to go to church. It's like, get to go to church, right? We have jobs. We have cars to drive us around. We have fresh water that we can drink. You can literally go to the grocery store in 5 minutes and go buy a week's worth of groceries and put them in a refrigerator they're not going to go bad. Like, there's so many things to be thankful for that we take for granted because we're just so comfortable in that, you know, in that lifestyle. But at the same time, God has blessed us where we're at, so we are to be thankful for those things. That's what I got for you guys. So we're gonna get into communion, and bear with me. I've not done this before, so if I mess it up, I'm sorry. But here we go. So. Father, we just thank you for these people here, Father, that they made it to church today is a huge blessing. We just we thank you for each and every soul that's here, and Father, that you that they just got something out of your word today, that you just opened their hearts. And Father, now we just pray that as we go into communion and we remember you, that we get to look forward to you and what we're and what you represent in our life, Father, as we go and take this communion, that we can just renew our hearts and our minds, and as we go through this week, that we can remember this time and remember you and what you've done for us, Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. So, not really sure how to start this, to be honest with you. I've seen Sean do it many times, but he makes it look so easy. Yeah, go ahead and just, yeah, I'll have you guys come up and we'll just get started. We'll make it easy. So going into this, this is the first time I've ever done this. So trying to learn a little bit about communion and what it means is, it's a big deal, you know. This is our way of remembering Christ and what he did for us, right? So as the bread represents Jesus' body that he so willingly put on the cross to die for us. That's a huge ask of anybody to do, you know, to just die for somebody. That's a big ask. And he willingly came down and did it for us so that we may be saved. So as we do this today, I hope you guys understand the importance of this and that it is a big deal. It's not just eating bread and drinking juice, that we are remembering Christ and that he is going into our body so that throughout the week we can have him in our life, right? That he is coming out of us, right? Because what we put in is what also comes out. So I hope that you guys do understand that. And then it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it, the bread, and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Well, guys, I hope that you guys have a great week. I hope that the Lord blesses you this week and that you can go through this week and just be a light in whatever situation that we're in, right? Whether it's work, school, whatever it may be that we're doing, I just pray that the Lord is guiding you guys through that week. So, thank you. Yo, yes, yeah. If you guys need any prayer, we're always here. Just come and see me or any of the elders in the church, and yeah, anybody's here to pray for you guys. So.